broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome back to a live version of the Phil Hendry Show here. It's the year 2012. And I don't know if you make the mistake of writing the wrong year on your checks for the next month or two or three, but I think I've pretty much broken myself of that habit.
You don't write checks.
I don't write any checks, exactly. I don't pay anybody anything. So that's one way of breaking the habit of writing the wrong year on the check. Don't write me. Use cash. I don't know. But nonetheless, we have for you tonight, I think, a show that I would call a one of reflection. And it's an interesting incident. We've had a very bizarre weekend here in the city of Los Angeles. Across the country, I hope you guys are safe and doing well and looking forward to a good year. And, of course, I'm doing the same here from the El Pacifico. But just to the south of us lies the sprawling megalopolis known as L.A. And they had a series of arson fires over the weekend. I do believe that they caught the scallywag. And there were several. There was one or two or three, I think, when all was said and done. I'm still trying to figure this out. So for some, it hasn't been a happy new year, and it hasn't been a particularly merry Christmas. I want to talk with Larry Grover with Conservatives of Kern County, who is in a final push, along with others in his organization, to defeat the slate of progressive, liberal, or Democratic candidates in a variety of races in the state of California and across the country. Larry's going to join us here in just a moment from his home in Culver City, California, to talk about that, and to also talk about an incident that occurred at the Marchmont Baptist Church in Culver City over the Christmas weekend that involved Mr. Grover, and I want to get his comment on that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. Live streaming video of our show is available right now. It is our Phil TV and HD videocast. And if you have a backstage pass, you can watch that, access the 5-day video archive, access the 18 billion show audio archive and the character archive and so many other things that we have available there for you, philhendryshow.com. And the reason why it is a firewall, if you will, or a subscription site is, quite frankly, we feel the show does represent the very best in radio. That is in radio theater, in radio production, in radio, you know, presentation. I mean, it's good radio. So, and there's whole shows there, I think, more to the point. We have three-hour shows available going back 13, 14 years. So join us over there at philhendryshow.com. All right. 877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Let me turn the fan off here, bud. Larry, how are you?
Well, Phil, considering what we've been through over the week, we're doing pretty good.
Tell me, how is your mother, by the way?
My mom's doing very good.
Tell me what happened, and what was the purpose of you interrupting? I understand it was a nativity service.
It was a nativity service that was a morning nativity service on Christmas morning. It was not the midnight nativity. It was at the Baptist church that's about two blocks down from where we live. This was a political statement, Phil. It was not a religious statement, so it was not a hate crime. Some people have described it as a hate crime. I'm a Christian, and I'm a very devout Christian. I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and I would never disrespect that, and we don't believe we did disrespect it. All we did was interrupt the service, and I made a brief statement. I asked the pastor, the reverend there, who was a very kind man, I asked him if he...
What was his name?
Reverend Sand is his name, Ralph Sand, and I know him. And he's a good man. And I said, Reverend Sand, what I'd like you to do, if you would just stop for a moment, we're going to make a statement. And there was about a half a dozen of us. There was myself. There was Logan Marshall was with us. There was Rick Jeffcoat was with us. Samantha Jeffcoat, his wife. We had Kyle McGregor, and Kyle's wife was there as well, and I was there. And what we did was we stopped the Christmas service, and we made our statement, and it was a very simple statement. It was the following statement. People are saying Merry Christmas. Excuse me, Phil. Can I get some water, please? people are saying Merry Christmas, but you know and I know that there is really very little to be merry about when we look at the state of our country, when we look at the state of the leadership in our country. Excuse me. I'm trying to get some water.
You all right?
I'm getting over a cold. I'm just... when you look at this, the leadership of our country, when you look at the state of our country, people are saying Merry Christmas and people are saying Happy New Year. And we feel that of all the years that we have collectively been alive in this country, this is not the year to be wishing each other Merry Christmas. And it is not the year to be wishing each other a Happy New Year. And we would like you to join with us in reassessing this holiday so that while you enjoy this nativity, you keep in mind the suffering of this country and not in a very cavalier way wish each other a Merry Christmas. And that was it.
And now, why did you feel the need to interrupt this service?
Well, we wanted to go in and make this statement, Phil. I can tell you that we were afraid it was going to be misread. We were afraid people were going to think it was some kind of an anti-religious statement, and it is not. It was not. And I told Bob Sandet, excuse me, Phil, I've really got to get another sip of water. I apologize, Phil.
That's okay. I know that, you know, especially when a cough is drying up, it gets tough.
Yeah. I told Bob Sandet, I said, look, this is not a comment on Christianity. We simply need to get this message to you people who are in church that this is not a Merry Christmas. This is not a Happy New Year. And
But why did you interrupt a religious service as opposed to going, I don't know, to any secular meeting?
Well, because the numbers are there, the people are there, because the individuals that are going to hear, the people you want to hear you are there, and because at the very moment when people are feeling their most uplifted, which is at a religious ceremony of the Nativity, which was this Nativity service, you want to remind them that, no, you should not feel happy. Now,
yeah, but a lot of people are in church feeling happy because of the birth of Jesus.
Well, I don't think that's the case. I think people are, yes, they're happy that Jesus was born, but I think 99% of the people are just happy that it's Christmas and that it's a time of peace and a time of celebration. And yes, it is if the times were good and if the country was doing well. But it is not this year, and it hasn't been for a couple of years. And we wanted to remind people that while they are deluding themselves, and again, Phil, this is not against Christianity. If you really feel good that on Christmas Day because Jesus was born, well, then I would say to you that you are you're a lucky man. Let me put it that way. I'm not going to say you're deluded. I believe that is why we should be happy. But I don't think we are.
Well, look, you call yourself a Christian. Are you not happy on Christmas?
I have not been unhappy. I've not been happy on Christmas.
Not this Christmas, but generally in the past, have you been happy on Christmas?
Oh yes.
And why was that?
Because it was Christmas. Because it was a day of giving. Because it was a day of sharing.
And it wasn't as a Christian. It wasn't because Jesus was born that day.
Well, yes, it was because Jesus was born. You tell people, in other words, yes, I am happy that Jesus was born. You, on Christmas, though, you tell yourself you're happy Jesus was born, but you're really more happy that you're with your family. You're really more happy that you're with your loved ones. You can't carry that around with you year in and year out. I'm really happy Jesus was born. I'm really happy Jesus was born. It's not possible. So,
you realize that what you're saying, though, I think goes against what most Christians believe.
No, I don't think so. I really don't. And that's why we felt, and that's why, if I thought that, Phil, we never would have interrupted the Nativity service with our statement.
All right, so your statement at that Nativity service there at the Marchmont Baptist Church was to say, don't feel that good, things are not good.
Exactly, and we felt the best place to do it was in a Nativity service. Well, unfortunately, We had a conversation with the Culver City Police. In my wildest dreams, I had no idea that, that Bob Sand would call the police, but he did, and I'm very disappointed that he did that. I guess I understand to some degree, but I am very disappointed.
What did the police say?
Well, the police charged me with trespassing, and I said to Bob that this was not what he thought it was. We were not engaged in some kind of political demonstration. We weren't trying to. This was not a civil disobedience thing. We were there to make a statement, and then we left. And I said that to him, and I said that to the police officer. I don't think we were given a very fair hearing, and that's why I wanted to come on your program tonight. I think that when the people hear what our purpose was, I think people are going to be on our side. There's going to be a hearing in the municipal court there next week on the charges of trespass, and we want to get people there to support us and to say that we had every right to go into that church and to simply make the statement, no, it's not a Merry Christmas. And then we left. And
you went into a religious service to do that, and I think that's what causes a little concern from some people. And that's why some people, I think, will call it, you know, I think desecration's a little hard. I think that's a tough word.
That's absolutely insulting.
I would tend to agree, because you weren't there to destroy anything, but you did interrupt the religious service.
But the reason we interrupted, do you understand what I'm saying?
So if you interrupted it for a bad reason, which would be what?
Well, if it was an anti-Christian message, if we interrupted it to say that, God doesn't exist, we didn't. We simply interrupted it to say, yes, we're Christians like you, but it's not a Merry Christmas. And we've got serious problems.
But you also were saying you shouldn't be this happy because you know you're not happy because Jesus was born. You're just happy because it's Christmas. Well, don't be happy.
Well, yeah, but we're saying don't be happy on this day because we know you're not happy necessarily because Jesus was born. You're happy because there's presents and it's Christmas and all this nonsense. But we don't believe that you should be happy today given the state of the country, yeah.
All right, Larry Grover has joined us here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's an interesting event, and I think I got the call from Larry when he was, they weren't arrested, they were cited, but there's going to be a hearing on walking into this Baptist church on Christmas morning and making this statement that it is not a Merry Christmas. You should join us in saying it's not a Merry Christmas, and because the country's got problems. Now, he's hoping that there'll be a turnout of people, Bud.
Yeah, well, he wants to get enough people down there to support him.
So there's a hope that there will be a turnout of people to support him at the hearing that they're going to have next week in Culver City. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're going to come back with Larry Grover and more on the Christmas Day demonstration there at the Marchmont Baptist Church in Culver City. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here, talking with Larry Grover from Culver City tonight. Larry's, boy, you were busy over the holiday weekend. What prompted you guys or inspired you to go into a church and make a statement like that?
Well, again, Phil, I mean, that's an interesting comment. It sounds to me like you think that what we did was, I'm not going to say it wasn't bizarre, but I don't like being put on the defensive.
Well, I'm not trying to put you on the defensive. What I'm saying was it was for Christmas morning to walk into a church where they're having a nativity service.
I understand that, Bill, but we have to make the statement, and we've got to make the statement clear, that this country is in trouble, that we have a nation that's being badly run, when people say Merry Christmas or Happy New Year, right now we've got Americans who have are paying their taxes. They're obeying the laws, just as you are, just as I am. We have American citizens right now that are walking around saying Happy New Year. And I don't think anybody really thinks about that. I don't think anyone thinks, why am I saying that? Don't I sound foolish saying that? When you see what's being done to our country by this cabal of special interests led by Barack Obama. And the Happy New Year and the Merry Christmas devotees. Look, you just saw Michelle Bachmann embarrassed, and I think rightfully so, in Iowa. I think that Michelle Bachmann needed to be embarrassed. I think it was time to send a message very clearly to her that her day has come, that whatever it is she's selling, no one's buying, that she needs to go back to Minnesota and do whatever it is she does there. And she, I understand she's the representative, and she does a very good job. But you just saw what happened to her, and it wasn't pretty. Rick Santorum won. I don't know if that's the answer either. All I know is it's not a Happy New Year.
Well, I mean, if people are going to say Happy New Year, though, you know, you can't do anything about it, Larry. You can't say to them, don't say it. You certainly can't adjust people's attitude, in other words, to...
Well, why can't I? In other words, what we're trying to do is...
I don't think you can... I don't think you're going to get people on your side when you go into a church... And when you say to them, ladies and gentlemen, hi, you know, I'm here and I'm a Christian and I'm not here to interrupt your service, but this is not a Merry Christmas, because a lot of those people are there to celebrate the birth of Jesus.
No, see, I think you're very wrong there, Phil. I think you're very wrong.
Well, they're Christians, so I think you're going to have to assume that that's why they're there.
Well, I know I don't have to assume that, because I know Christians and I know that the reason, yes, that... Yes, you're supposed to be happy that Jesus was born that day, but it's not intended to be the entire happiness of the day. You're not supposed to inform the entire day with that. That's not going to make you happy all day long. What you need are other things, and those are the things that we don't have. And that's why I'm bitterly disappointed in what the country... You know, I just saw here where Obama is going to... He has signed this National Defense Act...
What is the problem with this national defense signing? I don't understand what people are screaming about.
Well, it is just that we don't like him doing it. I don't think anybody trusts him. And
you don't want him doing it simply because he's a Democrat.
No, that's not why.
Well, then why don't you want him to? I don't even understand. That is one of the most bizarre things in modern times, this problem they got with Obama and him signing this supposed defense funding or whatever the hell this thing is.
Again, Phil, it is Barack Obama. Take a look at the country. Look at the state the country's in. And don't tell me that I don't have the right to go anywhere and tell people, listen, we got a problem, and I don't know why you're saying Happy New Year or Merry Christmas or anything else, because it is not a Happy New Year. It's not a Merry Christmas. We've got serious problems. And I am not anti-Christian. I'm not anti-religion. But I feel I have to walk into this religious ceremony and stop everything and tell all of you that you need to stop with this Merry Christmas.
And that's how you put it, huh?
Well, what I said was, ladies and gentlemen, you were going to get back to your religious service, but I need to make a statement. And I know Reverend Sand here, at least I thought I did. He called the police. I was bitterly disappointed in that. And,
well, I don't know what you expected him to do. You know,
well,
here's a guy that you walk into his church and you interrupt his religious service, but you don't expect him to call the cops. I don't know what else he's supposed to do. I don't know what you thought, you know. Did you think he was going to let you just stand there and make a speech?
I wasn't making a speech. What I said simply was, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to interrupt your religious service, but I can tell you that you having this little religious service and acting all happy is bothering me and my colleagues here from Conservatives of Kern County, because it's anything but a Merry Christmas. And I'd like you to think of that while you... go through this charade.
Well, to me, that sounds offensive.
Well, it wasn't meant that way.
Well, it certainly, when you call a religious service a charade,
Well, it is a charade from the standpoint of they don't really mean Merry Christmas when they see what's going on with the cookies.
All right, well, anyway, Larry Grover is going to have his hearing there in about a week. 877-876-PHIL on whether or not it's a Merry Christmas and the idea of walking into a religious service and stopping it to say
Phil
that.
Hendry.
We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show.
Keep that audio up, man. Keep that audio up until the brother starts talking here. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're just kind of whipping the crew into shape. It'll take a while. 877-876-PHIL, and of course, online at philhendryshow.com. Larry Grover on the line with us as we continue talking about the religious services on Christmas Day being interrupted by his group, Conservatives of Kern County. It seems like a silly interruption, too, Larry.
Well, I don't think it was, Phil. If you mean silly, you mean it was very inoffensive? We felt it was inoffensive.
No, it just seems like a rather silly thing to do in the middle of a religious service to stop, to go in and say, hey, we'd like to stop and say this is not a Merry Christmas.
Well, and to that extent, you may call it silly, which I find very uninformed on your part, and I know you to be an intelligent man, so I don't know why you would say that, but I think it's not silly. It was inoffensive. It needed to be said. We didn't go in there and insult anybody's religion. We simply said to the reverend, we want you to stop for a minute.
And what if he hadn't stopped?
Well, I don't think that was going to happen. We simply said to him,
But just follow me. What if he hadn't stopped? What if he said, no, I'm not going to stop my religious service. Would you please get out of my way and allow me to continue?
Well, we didn't think that was going to happen.
But my question is a very simple one. What if he hadn't stopped?
Well, if he had not stopped, all we were going to say was, this is not a Merry Christmas, it's not a Happy New Year, and we want to disabuse you people of any idea that it is a Happy Christmas or a Merry New Year, or however you want to say it.
And we want to disabuse you people.
What we are saying, Phil, and you're trying to make it into something that it wasn't. We're simply saying to them, it's not a Merry Christmas.
And all right, but my question remains, what if the Reverend had not stopped?
If he had not stopped, we would have had to stop him. I, that's the only way.
You would have had to have stopped him. So now what we have...
No, hold on. What you're doing is you're escalating this where it never escalated. You're taking it somewhere where it never went. Okay,
No. I'm asking you the what are the eventualities here?
No, you're trying to take it somewhere. It did not go there, Phil. We simply wanted to tell the Reverend, would you please stop for a moment? We're going to tell these people what it is we've got to say, and we'll leave.
And well, he did call the police.
He did call the police, and I was bitterly disappointed. But he didn't tell us to stop.
But if he had told you to stop, and he had kept on.
If he had told us to stop and he would have, and he kept on, he said he would not stop the service. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Then we would have been, then he would have forced us, but he did not.
And he would have forced you to do what?
I'm not going to answer these questions. Because I think what you're doing now is you are turning the spirit of this thing, you're turning it on its head, and you're making it very ugly. And it wasn't ugly. It was a beautiful experience, and you're making it terribly ugly. And, Phil?
I don't know what was beautiful about it, if he's calling the police and
Well, I got a lot of comments from people that said thank you for drawing that comparison.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call here. Jeff, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm kind of taking offense to this because I think this guy's a little distorted. You know, I own a little small trucking company in Eugene, Oregon. I'm in my truck now on my way to Salt Lake, and I'm listening to this guy. And I'm thinking, you know, if he'd have walked into my church on Christmas morning and interrupted a nativity scene, I'd have probably been going to jail. Because let me tell you something. Yeah, I agree with him that, yes, our country is in a bad state of affairs. Our country is at an all-time low since the Great Depression. But you know what? Because of everything that's gone on, my family has has come closer together. Our friends have gathered closer together. I'm seeing people
That's a good point.
Helping other people on the street. I'm right. seeing people help the homeless. I'm seeing people come out and volunteer to feed families that don't have food.
You're seeing a lot of Obama.
Not only this, but look at all these people that their children are coming home from war. They've got a reason to celebrate. It is a Merry Christmas. It is a Happy New Year. And you know what?
Good point.
Hopefully this country's going to get their head out of their butt and elect somebody in there that's really going to do something. But until you get rid of clean house and clean Senate, you're not going to get a whole hell of a lot of anything done. And we all know
that. What about
that,
Larry? But that's a good point. The gentleman pointing out that there are young men and women coming home from war.
Well, I think that is a – I think, you know, with all due respect to the gentleman, he's pulling on the emotional heartstrings there. That my point wasn't anything bigger than – it's not a – well, my point, sir, wasn't anything heavier than it's not a Merry Christmas. And when you said that you'd go to jail, are you telling me you would have committed a violent act against me in a church?
I probably because if you'd have interrupted our time of religious ceremony to celebrate the birth of Christ, I'm a very religious person, and I'm going to tell you something. That's not the place to go in and have a protest or to state your thing. You could have waited till after church when everybody comes out into the parking lot and congregate, because I'm Southern Baptist, and that's what we do. We all get out in the parking lot, and we all sit out there for another half hour yakking about this or that, and you could have made your statement then. You don't interrupt a beautiful religious ceremony where people are trying
to celebrate. That's the perfect time to interrupt it, though. That's the perfect time to interrupt it, when everybody is all blissed out, and I don't mean to be offensive.
You want to piss everybody off.
No, sir.
I want to ask you something, Larry. Larry, you said that you would have stopped the preacher. You said you would have stopped him.
What do you mean?
Well, when the preacher kept on, you said if the preacher kept going and did not pay attention to you, you would have stopped him.
That's right. But you're not going to bait me into saying I'm going to do something violent like this man. He said he'd do something violent.
Well, what would you do?
I will, if the guy didn't stop, I would have just kept talking louder.
Larry, let me give you another scenario, okay? This is kind of how I see it.
Would have kept talking louder.
I lost my sister, who was 35, and my nephew, who was 8, down in Valdosta, Georgia, on April 20th in a head-on car collision. Now,
I'm sorry to hear that, sir.
Thank you. But if you would have came to that funeral, I mean, there was 300-400 people there. If you'd have came to that funeral because, everybody's gathered there, it's a good time to get a hold of everybody. There's no difference in what you did than walking to a funeral because there's a bunch of people there that you want to get your message to. It's disrespectful.
I would do it very respectfully, though, Jeff. I would say, I know that you are here.
You can do it respectfully at a funeral, just like you couldn't do it respectfully at a nativity on Christmas morning.
All I'm saying is, if you would give me a chance, I would simply say, I know you're all gathered here for the passing of some very loved and dear people, but it could be worse.
It could be worse. Is that what you'd say to these people?
Yeah.
If you would allow me.
I could have lost my two nieces that were in the car with her, too, the only two survivors. You're right. Oh, it could have been worse. But I can tell you right now.
That's not what I would say.
Right now, you have no conscience and no respect.
Exactly.
For any human
you can't
life.
Go into.
If you walk into a funeral or into a church during a nativity scene or a baptism or anything else that has that kind of meaning to talk about not being happy.
I'm very, very sorry for your loss, and I would be very respectful. I would simply say, if you're asking about the funeral, I would say it could be worse. Obama could get elected for another 4 years.
That's what's worse, huh? This man just brought up his nieces, the nieces that were not killed in that accident. That's what he felt would be the Obama getting elected. He probably let Obama be president for another 8, 9, 10, God knows how many years to save the lives of those people.
Well, I think you're speaking out of turn. I want to
ask this guy. Hey, do you got one of them California medical marijuana cards? Is that what's going on here? What?
So in other words, I have to be stoned on the pot.
You got to be stoned up to walk into a church or a funeral with that kind of crap.
Well, sir, all I'm trying to do is alert people to the danger of the Obama.
The Associated Press, okay, and put my point of view on there, put your point of view on there, and take a poll and find out how many Americans rally behind me and say that you're nuts and you need to get some help.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Good call, and best of luck, and drive carefully out there tonight. And I'm very, very sorry for your loss, sir. I'm very sorry for your loss, but glad that you have your family around you. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be back here with, and I don't know whether or not you're hearing what that gentleman said, Larry.
Well, I don't think I need to have you to interpret for me, Phil. I have family, I have people that I love, and I'm not, and I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be pushy here, but I think the two of you, both of you, are assuming, and I did take great offense at the man asking if I had my medical marijuana card. So he's assuming that I'm smoking, marijuana, because I want to go into a church on Christmas or at a funeral and say, this is not a happy time.
You think you need to go into a funeral and say that?
If I go into a funeral...
You go into a funeral and you say, this is not a happy time. You think people need to be reminded of that?
I would say to them, this is a very sad occasion, and my heart goes out to you and to whoever is dead. I don't know. I would have to find out, but I would say it could be worse, and in fact, it is worse. If you think you're unhappy here... See, I've got to be able to write this down. You can't pin me down. And
yeah, I'll tell you, because if you said this off the top of your head, you'd butcher it. Oh, God. You know?
Well, you know something, Phil? Not all of us are public speakers. I think I do a halfway decent job.
Not the way you just did it then.
What would you change?
Oh, come on. This is really a sad time, and I'm sorry for you people and whoever is dead.
I wouldn't put it that way. But I would say that...
You just said this is a sad time, but it could be worse. In fact, it is worse. Obama's president. Is that what you just said?
No, I did not. And if you want to make a joke out of it, you can. And
Larry, the way you're putting it sounds funny. Hold on. 877-876-PHIL. This man walked into a church on Christmas Day, Larry Grover, conservatives of Kern County, to tell the people attending a nativity service... It could be, it's not a Merry Christmas. How dare you, not how dare you, but, you're saying Merry Christmas, saying Happy New Year. It's anything but. And just said to that one gentleman who'd lost family members in a head-on collision in August, if he went to their funeral, he'd be very respectful and tell them it could be worse. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back. Larry Grover, our guest this evening.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me, Larry Grover from... Conservatives of Kern County. Larry is in Culver City, California, and we're talking tonight about this political, and I have to call it political, Larry. I know you said it was more of a conscience action.
We felt it. We didn't want to call it political because it really is more than politics, Phil. But we did not want to call it an action either because, no, we are not ACT UP and we're not these people that wander into churches and desecrate everything that they see, and no, that's not what that's about at all. And so what we felt we wanted to do was to go into the church and tell people that they are happy on Christmas Day, and let's, in other words, Phil, is an old saying, cut the crap, and that's really what we wanted to say. Cut the crap, you're not happy, and Obama just made it worse.
Well, that's quite an abrupt, and I dare say a...
Well, it may be abrupt, Phil, but it's truthful. And
well, it may be abrupt, and it may be a lot of... And it may be truthful, but it's in the middle of somebody else's religious ceremony that you just got done telling me you would interrupt, and if they kept on going, then you'd have to do something,
No, I didn't say have to do something.
You said that if the preacher said, I'm sorry, you can't stop my religious service, I'm going to continue with my nativity service... that you'd have to stop him.
I said, and then I said, I just keep talking louder. If you talk, Phil, go ahead and say something.
All right, I'm Phil Henry.
All right, if I do that, obviously you can't, I can't, no one can hear you, they can hear me.
All right, 877-876, Phil, let me get to some phone calls here. On the line we have Heron. Heron, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Larry Grover, sir, go ahead.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Good evening, and go ahead.
I was thinking about the gentleman who went into the church to make his statement.
That's me, sir. Larry Grover. Yes, sir. It was at the Marchmont Baptist Church here in Culver City.
Yes. And
yes, sir.
That young man has a spirit in him, and the spirit that he has in him is Satan. Because Satan will pull any trick to sway your mind to get you to say the things that he wants you to say. So you have to remember that he's very tricky, and that he'll use anybody. And especially people who call themselves Christian, that's who Satan is coming after.
But sir, I wasn't saying the words of Satan. I was simply saying it's not a Merry Christmas because our country's in trouble. Is that satanic? I don't think so.
But you're trying to turn people's minds away from what the day is all about, and that is
that's true.
Jesus Christ. And by doing that, you're doing the act of Satan. Satan don't want you to sit out there and know anything about what's going on.
Well, Jesus, but don't you think that by that point in the day, most people have, okay, yeah, today was the day Jesus was born. Great, thank you. Now let's go and open some presents and so on and so forth.
Not in the middle of a religious service.
That's right.
Well, I'm talking to the
gentleman. Not in the middle of a religious service. Even if he did it anywhere, it would be an act of Satan. Because he says he's a Christian. He says he's a Christian. But
I am a Christian.
I'm not one.
But if I went into the religious service and I said, I know a lot of you are pretending, well, I shouldn't say.
See, that's the whole thing. You're assuming people are there and they're pretending like they care about Jesus and all they want to do is get home and unwrap presents.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm telling you, you're wrong. You can't make that assumption about everybody.
You're wrong.
You're telling me I'm wrong. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what we're saying. You're wrong. You're making
you're
the wrong,
wrong
assumption. Heron, thank you, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is George on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, George.
Yes, I just wanted to say that,
yes, sir.
That his whole concept is off. It's more about the joy that Jesus is and who he is and how he's brought joy into the world. And it's not about the happiness, because happiness comes from happy things. But who Jesus is about joy. And it's
yes,
just
but
not,
I think we're getting off the point. I think we're getting off the point. I'm not here to debate whether Jesus was a good thing. He was a great thing. He was the greatest thing that ever happened to the human race. I'm saying, what are all these people running around going, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year?
But
it starts to wear on my nerves when I read the headlines.
Well, but why go into a I'm sorry to interrupt you, George, but why go into a religious service?
Because that's where most of the people are. You got to make a statement.
But they're not worried about the happiness of the world. They're there to be joyful together, thinking about Jesus. You know, I mean, even if it was in the tribulation times, there would still be joy because of who he is. Because there's always something to fall back on. You know, Jesus
yes.
is the joy of the world.
Right.
And you
I
know,
agree.
Happy. Just
I agree.
Because it's a bad time, it's going to be bad. I mean, the world can be even worse, even though if Obama is in office. I mean, it could be worse.
Yeah, there you go. I'm trying to say to the people, well, that's why I said if I went to a funeral, and I'm sorry that I'm at a funeral, and I didn't mean to interrupt the funeral, but let me just
wrong.
Say, what are you laughing about?
You're
laughing because you can see me going into that funeral and making sense to those people and saying,
That's not well, it's pretty absurd.
What is absurd?
It's absurd for you to walk into a funeral and go, I'm really sorry for whoever died.
No, I would not say that, Phil. I would obviously ascertain who the loved one was.
All right, but then you'd say, but it could be worse, and it is, Obama's president. You know, you'd get thrown out. You'd get picked up bodily and thrown out.
You would get thrown out. You need to get thrown out after that. That's bad.
Well, what I'm trying to say to you, George, and to you, Phil, and I hope you gentlemen hear this, because this is it. We are in such bad straits in this country. It's about time we start walking into funerals and funeral homes. All right. Well, he's laughing.
Yeah, it's about time. You know that God hates fags. You know those people.
I am not one of those people.
Well, that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. They're going into funerals. They're going and they're desecrating our servicemen who are having funerals. And my God, there's no end to the insult that those people are willing to lay on others for their misguided religious beliefs. Thank you very much, George, for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Larry Grove is going to stay on the line with us as we talk about the doings, the goings-ons during the holiday season, walking into a church and delivering this message that it is not a Merry Christmas. We're also going to have with us Mavis Leonard, who was at the religious service that he walked into. She'll tell us what her reaction was. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You really know how to hurt a guy.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back live after a week away from the microphone in the studio. Happy to be back with you here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, where truth is our bitch, where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And it's pretty much sort of a bizarre nonetheless very truthful journey through the day's headlines and your head. Let's put it that way. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're also online at philhendryshow.com with live streaming video on Phil TV in HD. It's a fantastic video picture. If you have a backstage pass, you can watch our show every night. I'm wearing the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, by the way, tonight, and you can see that. Our hoodie, and it has... on the back, it has, we want to put our meat in your mouth. I'm sure you'll pardon the expression, but that's Ted's thing. And stay tuned also for other exciting Ted Bell news, because we have a lot to deliver to you. Larry Grover has joined us this hour as well as last hour to talk about Christmas and Christmas Day in particular, where he, along with members of Conservatives of Kern County, went into a church in Culver City, California, and essentially stopped the service, the Nativity service, and said that we want to make this statement, and it was one in which you said, Larry, that this is not a Merry Christmas, and you should not be looking at it as a Merry Christmas, and it's not a Happy New Year. And essentially, there was you enforced this appearance by your group. And, and I think that's the reaction you're getting from our callers. That is, you interrupted a religious service. The people there had no choice.
No, that's not true, Phil, and I wish you'd stop saying that. I think they absolutely did have a choice.
Well, then help me out with this, because I asked you, what would you have done Reverend Sands, had said, no, I'm going to keep on going?
I answered you. I said that I would say, you're going to keep on going, and he would say, yes, I am, and then I would say, I don't want you to, and we want you to stop. And
yes, but what if he said to you, I'm not going to stop, get out of my church?
Well, he did call the police. And
no, but he called the police while he let you talk. What if he said, get out of my church?
Well, first of all, Phil, you're taking a tone with me which is very confrontational. I have not been confrontational with you at all.
No, all right. If you want me to back my tone down, I'd be happy to do it, Larry. But the question's still going to be there at the end of whatever adjustments and otherwise changes in my modulation of my voice occur. All right.
What?
Whatever you ask me to do, I will do. But I'm still going to have the same question.
If he said to me what?
If he said I'm not stopping the service.
If he said I'm not stopping the service, and we had a very simple message, which was this. I want to tell you people that if you're here to worship Jesus, and you should be here to worship Jesus, it's a big waste of your time, because this is not a Merry Christmas. Look what Obama did. And then we were going to leave. And
all right. We have a lady on the line. I think she's going to join us here in a minute. Do we have Ms. Leonard?
Yeah.
Mavis Leonard is going to join us here. She was at the service at the Marchmont Baptist Church. She joins us on the phone here from Southgate this evening. Ms. Leonard, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I can correct the gentleman.
All right, hold on for just a second. Larry, can you hear her?
Yes, I can hear her fine.
Go ahead, Mavis.
Yes, I wanted to say to this man, Mr. Grover, you came into our church.
I can't hear the lady.
Are you there, Mavis?
Yes, I'll be fine. You came into our church, sir. I saw you come in. And you were standing there with no coat on, just a short sleeve white shirt and a tie. And you stood up there in front of everyone with your hands on your hips. And you had on a pair of pants that were some kind of a pinstripe. And I looked at you and I thought to myself that you looked like a fool.
That's your right, ma'am.
Well, hold on. But you did look like a fool with your short sleeve shirt and your red striped pants. And then you started talking about how it's not a Merry Christmas. I want you to know something, sir. As you were walking by me down the aisle, I made a face and I made a sign at you that I should not have made, Mr. Henry.
You made a what?
I gave him the finger.
You gave me in a church. You gave me the finger.
You had come into our church and had come in and had done what I thought was sacrilegious.
And you don't think it's sacrilegious to give me the finger?
In my church, I'm trying to hear the word of God, and you come in looking like a complete fool in your white shirt.
I had a short white sleeve. I wore a short sleeve white shirt, Phil, because that's traditional among a lot of the preachers that do the circuit in the South.
Yeah, and what about the red striped pants?
The red striped, boy, I'm not going to I won't dignify that with an answer.
The red striped pants, you won't dignify with an answer.
I wore a dignified outfit. She gives me the finger as I'm walking by.
You didn't see it, so you didn't know that I had done that. But I would have done a lot worse, because you had insulted me and insulted my church.
877, hold on the line here, Mavis, because we want to talk to you a little bit more. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Billy on the line. Billy, go ahead. You're on with Larry Grover.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
You tell me you went to a church and did all this, and you said that if you went to a military service, a church with a military funeral, you'd say the same thing?
I don't know about a military funeral. I would go into a funeral and say, I'm very sorry that, whoever died.
Funeral versus a military.
I can't hear this gentleman.
Hold on. Billy, you got to keep your phone close so we can hear what you're saying. Say it again.
I said, what's the difference if you say you're going to go into a funeral, which isn't your business because you weren't part of this family, if you go into a funeral versus a military funeral? And you're just going to open your mouth and talk about something you don't know about.
What do you mean I don't know about? I'm going to go in and say I'm sorry for the bereaved.
And Be quiet for a second here. Be quiet.
So you ask me a question. I'm going to answer the question you asked me. I'm going to answer the question you asked me. I'm going to go into the funeral.
I'm active duty military. I'm active duty military.
Well, that doesn't mean you get to ask questions and then not let the person answer. That doesn't give you some... your military badge here gives you the right to ask questions and people don't get to answer them. No. I'm going to answer your question. I walk into the funeral and...
Larry, you were in a funeral last year. This is a news item in the L.A. Times. You walked into this funeral and you said, I am sorry for you people, I think you used the words, and you tapped the casket and said, and this gentleman. Didn't you do that?
Yes, I did.
And you call that respectful?
What? Hold on for a minute. I tapped the casket to say who's in here.
Who's in here?
That's disrespectful.
How do you figure I didn't know the man's name? I didn't know the man's name. So I said, I am sorry for all of you people, and...
Tap, tap.
I didn't go tap, tap.
Well, you're tapping your finger and pointing to the casket.
Yes. If you guys are going to make an issue out of that, that was nothing. That's nothing compared to what Obama's done to this country. So...
Billy, thank you for your...
It takes Congress, not just Obama, to make any sort of decision.
Well, that's true. That's true.
One man doesn't make a decision for everything. It takes a whole board of people.
Well, I understand that. But let's face it, Obama's got them in the palm of his hand. He's got them all charmed. He's got all that charm going for him. That Kennedy charm with the, you know what I mean, the big smile and, you know, and he's charming. Hey, you're a young man who just came back from the. Were you on bomb patrol in Afghanistan? Did you do that?
No,
I just talked to a kid.
There's
a guy that came back
out of a funeral. If I was there,
you would fight me instead of the Taliban. That's great. That's great. Thank you.
He didn't say that.
I wouldn't fight, but I'd drag you right out of that church by your collar.
Why? Because I tapped on the box and said, "I'm sorry, I don't know the name of the guy that's in here."
Don't you see how disrespectful that is?
You weren't invited.
I agree, Phil.
Exactly. You weren't invited. Billy, thanks for your call. And thanks for your service to the country. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to Mark. Mark, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how are you today?
Fine, sir.
Well, I just want to say that, first of all, I do agree that there's some things not going on in Washington. And it's definitely money that I'm not absolutely thrilled with. But
Exactly.
Exactly. But it comes down to a matter of scruples. You don't go to a 10-year-old's birthday party and go and tell the 10-year-old it's not a happy birthday because Obama's messing up the country.
I wouldn't say that to a kid. She wouldn't know what I was talking about. That's ridiculous.
Well, then why would you... What if it was an adult's birthday party?
If it was some old lady, I'll give you an example. A friend of mine's grandmother was turning 100, and I said, Charlie Weston, who's a friend of yours, Phil, you know Charlie?
Yeah.
All right. His grandmother just turned 100, and they had a party, and I said, if ever there was a birthday party where we should go in and make a statement, it's that one. And he said, why? I said, because she's a woman who's turning 100. How many birthday parties do you get to have before somebody can come in and, you know, turn it into something meaningful? And not just, you see what I'm saying? So,
go ahead.
Yeah. So we went and I said, with all due respect, I know this lady's having a birthday party, but it's 100 years she's been alive now. Do you think she's had enough birthdays? They didn't like that. They asked me to leave. I said, no, I won't.
Right there. What did they do?
They asked me to leave again. I said, no, I won't. And Charlie began to put his hands on me. And I said, and they eventually did pull me out of the room. And I said, do you think she's had enough birthdays? And nobody answered me.
And do you think she's had enough birthdays?
100? What do you think?
Do you think she's supposed to die now? So that you, Larry Grover, can go and make your statement?
That is a terrible thing to say, Phil. And
well, Larry, that's what you're intimating here. Do you think she's had enough birthdays? She's had 100 birthdays, so now Larry gets to butt in and screw up one of her birthdays with his pitch about we shouldn't be happy.
No, I didn't screw it up. I didn't screw it up.
Well, they had to pull you out of there. That's all I know. Mark, thanks so much for your call. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover with us, and Mavis Leonard is here as well. She was attending this religious service that Mr. Grover interrupted with his statement, yes, it's Merry Christmas, but don't get too merry. Obama's still president. 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-7445. And the idea that this guy's going into funerals, you know, the Phelps people do that, and everyone hates their guts. I don't know how Larry got in under the radar. Going into funerals and saying, I'm sorry for all of you, and tap, tap, whoever's in the box. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I was just talking to Mavis. Mavis, it's interesting talking to you. You were at the religious service, and you're from South Carolina.
I'm originally from South Carolina. I have been a school teacher there.
And you were also a part of a great many historic moments, weren't you, in the 60s?
Well, I don't know.
Were you at St. Augustine with Dr. King? And
I was at St. Augustine with Dr. King. I was also, we were at St. Augustine, and we were going to be at Selma, but we did not go to Selma. I came to California, actually, shortly after St. Augustine. And I started to teach school in California.
Okay. It's very, very, I'm very honored to have you. And Larry Grover joins us.
Phil, I want to say, Ms. Leonard, I am honored as well to be talking to you and knowing the great service you've done to our country.
I appreciate that, Mr. Grover, but you understand, you come into my church and you act like a fool. I have to give you, and I did give you the finger. And I'm sorry that I did that. I know that Jesus probably was not standing on me.
Well, I think that whatever I did in that religious service, in your religious service, in the Nativity service there at the Marchmont Baptist Church on Christmas morning, I don't think what I did warranted you giving me the finger as she gave me the finger.
Well, I understand that, and I think that...
I can hear you now already formulating a defense for the lady where I am going to be left to fend for myself. And
you walked into this religious service. You interrupted. You were not going to yield the floor. You were going to make your statement about how you shouldn't be merry and you shouldn't be happy. And Ms. Leonard was reacting to that, and I don't know if hers was the worst reaction. You know, one of the preacher called the police on you.
You know, Reverend Fan called the police. I'm very happy he did call the police.
And he called the police, but I don't think anything hurt me as much as knowing what you just told me, that you flipped the big finger at me as I'm walking by. That hurts.
Well, it hurt to look at you up there with your stupid looking pants.
What about my pants? I was wearing a seersucker pair of slacks. I had my hands on my hips.
You look like an ass. Excuse my language.
All right, let me get to another phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We're on the show this morning talking to a variety of people. Let's go over here to Alvin. Alvin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover and Mavis Leonard. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Phil. The first question I had to ask... Larry, is that his name?
My name is Larry Grover, yes, sir. Okay. My name's Larry Grover.
You made this point to go down into this church during their nativity service, their Christmas morning service. My question is, you claimed earlier that you are a religious man, correct?
Yes, sir, I am.
And you claim that you're a Christian, correct?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't believe that for a minute.
Hold on. Let the gentleman speak.
So my question is this, sir. Why did you feel it necessary to go into their church? Why did you go into your church on your Christmas morning service and their church?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, it's a good question, but I can answer that question honestly.
Sir,
I have not...
in your church?
I do not have, as yet, I'm not comfortable with any church yet. And I'm still looking for a place where I can call my spiritual home. I get a very bad feeling from a lot of these churches I go into. I'm sure you understand.
Did you get a bad feeling when you come into my church?
Did I get a bad feeling coming into your church?
Yeah.
I had a very good feeling until the cops showed up.
Not to be disrespectful, but if you keep going into people's churches like that and doing stuff like that, you're not going to feel comfortable in any church you walk into.
Well, I mean, I don't know. What I'm trying to do is send the message that it's Christmas, and everybody is saying Merry Christmas, and I don't get it. If you go into a funeral...
And I get your point on that. Okay, yeah, you know, this country is hurting right now, okay? But I don't think
I don't think that has anything to do with going in a church on the day that Jesus Christ was born.
All right, let Alvin finish what he was saying.
I don't think that, yes, this country's hurting. I agree with that. We've been real hard down here in Alabama. I'm
Thank you.
Mobile, Alabama, okay?
You know what I'm talking about.
I do, but I don't think that by going into a church or a funeral or a birthday party and adding more insult to injury is the answer. You know, I think
I
know what you said. I know what you said.
Right.
What I'm trying to tell you is, I think you could handle your platform at different places other than places that are so close to people's hearts.
Well, I understand that, sir, but I didn't think I was being disrespectful. All I did was walk in and say, I'd like all of you to just... What's that? The preacher...
You were being disrespectful. Now, had you been at a 4th of July rally or some big public thing like that trying to get elected and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
If you go to some kind of platform like that, speak your mind fine. But, I mean, let me give you a scenario.
Nobody's going to listen to you at that. Everyone's going to think, oh, get off the stage, you know. But when you walk into the middle of and I didn't want to do it, but I just wanted to say to them, just back off for a second, folks.
I'm very happy I gave this man a finger.
All right, hold on. Thank you very much, Alvin, for your call. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be back with Larry Grover. Mavis Leonard has joined us on his entering a church on Christmas and telling everybody not to say Merry Christmas. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And welcome back here. We have with us Larry Grover. We've also got a visit from one of the members of the Marchmont Baptist Church that was there on Christmas morning when Mr. Grover walked in and made this statement concerning the merriness or the happiness that is displayed on Christmas. And I just think that, Larry, with all due respect to you and to, you know, members of your group, it was an affront and an offense to the people that were there. And you have not acknowledged that.
Oh, no, I acknowledge, Phil, that there was a problem that people had. I definitely acknowledge that. I'm not going to deny that the people had a problem. But I will say, and I say this with the with great humility, the message that we sent to the people there at the Marchmont Baptist Church, and I know that Ms. Leonard is here, and she can comment if she wants. I think what the message that we sent was every bit as valuable, if not more so, than anything that that reverend had to say. And
you have, excuse me, you have to tell us, Mr. Henry, you said that your message was as important as on Jesus.
No, I didn't. I said that our message could be as important as the birth of Jesus.
All right. What do you call it?
You said that your message could be as important as the birth of Jesus.
Yes, to tell people not to be so merry on a day that everyone is trying to escape from what Obama did.
What Obama did. You're turning Christmas into an anti-Obama day. You're turning Christmas into an anti... I've never heard of Christmas being turned into an anti-Obama day or into any anti-president day in my life.
I don't think I am. I wouldn't make Obama that important.
Well, you have made him that important, walking into a church and telling everybody in the church that you are a... you know, that you've got a message, they shouldn't be so merry. Here is David on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, David.
I just want to say I've been enjoying the show for the last hour, and I've heard every word he said. And Larry, I'm a Christian too, and I'm going to pray for your soul, because I'll tell you, there's something wrong with you, man. You don't go around trying to force your opinions and attitudes in places they don't belong, and you're totally
doing
that. I'm 65 years old.
I don't think you heard what I said. I was very gentle. I went in and I said just...
I heard everything you said. And just as you would talk over the pastor, I'm talking over you because I just want to speak. I'm not asking you a question
well,
right now.
I didn't say anything. I just said I would go la 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 like that.
Yeah,
big
well,
deal.
Whatever you would have done, you didn't belong there. Just like you didn't belong at the funeral. And if you were at my church and you were to do that, three or four deacons would escort you out of there. They wouldn't hurt you, but you would leave. You would leave immediately.
Wait a minute. Now, the funeral's a different story. The funeral's a different story. You can go into a funeral and say, I'm here just to say a couple of things. Let's face it, a funeral is not like Jesus being
born. You didn't belong there. You didn't even know who the guy was. You weren't there to mourn his loss. You were there to sell your attitude. That's all you were there. You were there to sell your principles.
What do you mean I didn't know?
Being a conservative, a Democrat, an atheist, or whatever you are, you don't do those kinds of things. You know, I don't know how old you are, but at some particular point, you need to speak to somebody, your Dr. Phil or somebody, to straighten out.
That's it. So you think I'm? So in other words, you think I belong in a soft room? Is that it?
No, I think you're a little twisted. A little twisted, my friend. Because what you're doing is wrong. You belong on a box top. I mean, in a box with a sign out in the street selling your attitude and selling your
box top.
I hate Obama.
Why aren't you out on a street corner?
What do you mean a street corner? I walked into a guy's funeral last year, and you had the bad taste, Mr. Henry, of pointing out that I had a moment where I forgot his name, and so I tapped on his casket. It was a moment where I was trying to make things a little light, and I said...
You think your wife would have appreciated that if that was you in the box? You think your wife would have appreciated that if you were in the box?
I'm asking you a question.
Do you think you're
If the man, if it had been an honest mistake, yes. If it had been like mine was an honest mistake.
How is it an honest mistake?
Because I had left the information in the car.
Oh, my God.
So I want to be clear, Larry. You walk into a man's funeral. You're going to interrupt this man's funeral with a statement about Obama. It's got nothing to do with the man, his family, nothing. You can at least acknowledge the funeral, the man's name, and you forget because you left the information in the car. So you tap on his casket and you say, the guy in here.
I did not say the guy in here. Well, you know, I was more respectful than you guys are being right now, having yourselves a big laugh over it.
You're totally whacked. You don't do those things. Right is wrong, and what you did was wrong. And you won't find a caller this evening that'll say you...
What do you think of the old lady? Excuse me for saying old lady. You know, I'm not an old lady. You can call me an old lady. She flipped me the bird. This woman gave me the finger.
Your anger drove her to do what she did. You've got her angered enough to do what she did. And you know what? I'm sure she's asked the Lord to forgive her 10 times over.
Yes, I have. Yes, I most certainly have asked Jesus forgive me for doing that. On his birthday, you come into his church, and we were having a...
And you gave me the finger as I was walking out.
Yeah, she gave you the finger. A big guy like you going to tapping on funeral caskets and going into churches when you don't belong there, you should be ashamed of yourself. I don't know how old you are, but you've got to grow up.
And you desecrated a man's funeral.
I desecrated a man's funeral because I forgot his name.
You should never have been there in the first place.
But you gave me the finger, and I'll never forget that.
I
hope they find you at that hearing and give all the money to the church. Give all the money to the church. Find you and everything else that you went in there with.
I'm asking is a fair hearing at the Culver City Municipal Hearing. And that it is brought out that as I was leaving behind my back.
If you were in Virginia, I'd be at your hearing with a big old sign. And I tell you what, you deserve everything you're going to get because you're going to get it too, buddy.
If I was in Virginia, that reminds me of a song.
Well, you know what? We're not making jokes right now, Larry. We're not making jokes.
Well,
You want to make a filthy joke? You go ahead and do that with your friends. We're talking about some. You want to make a joke about something? We're talking about Christmas Day. Christmas Day, people there, and this man made a very good point. You're a big guy tapping on a coffin and getting upset because an elderly woman gave you the finger. I personally see nothing wrong with that.
You don't see anything wrong with her saying basically, stick it up your you know what, in a church.
You walked in and stopped the service.
I think it never meant anything like that. Seeing as I've been growing up in my 55 years, and you know what? Fingers don't mean nothing. It's the anger that you created in that woman that you had no right to do. And that was by you
exactly.
Exactly.
All right, listen, David, thank you very much for your phone call. I appreciate it, sir. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, you know, I've heard you doing an awful lot of talking here tonight, Mr. Henry.
I've heard you doing an awful lot of talking, especially this stuff coming out about the funeral, and we had to go and look this up.
No, you have done your very best, I think, not to see my side, and I appreciate Ms. Leonard.
I think Mr. Henry has done. He's done above and beyond a call of duty. I'll try to make it so some kind of sense comes out of your mouth. There are no sense come out of your mouth at all. And I think a lot of sense. Shut your mouth for a minute. You know, you just shut your mouth for a minute. I walked out. You walked out of that church. I saw you in your short sleeve white shirt, and you had a striped tie, and you had red seersucker slacks.
That's right.
Uh huh. And you had on some kind of loafer, and you looked like a fool. And so when you walked by me after making a statement about how you should not have no, don't say Merry Christmas. And don't say Happy New Year. I could do nothing. There was nothing more for me to do. And I could feel no other thing that I could do just to turn around and just flip it. Just give it, just light it up.
Well, I can tell you that.
How do you know that this lady gave you the finger?
Because Bill Bruchenal told me, he said to me, as the lady just indicated, she lit one up. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And I turned around, and I didn't see anything.
I flipped it, and I brought it back. All I did was toss him a bone.
Bill said that you lit it up and tossed me a bone. I turned around.
You know.
I have to go, Mr. Henry. I don't find anything amusing about this.
All right, I'm sorry. You know, we're not. Okay, I guess she hung up.
Well, I don't blame her for hanging up. I think you want to make a joke out of this.
I'm laughing at you guys talking about lighting it up.
What? You've never heard the term?
No, I haven't.
She lit one up on me. Bill Bruchenal said that old lady just tossed you a bone, and I turned, and he said, no, she lit it up, but she just turned it off.
All right.
You've never heard that?
No, I've never heard it, and I don't care to hear it again. Thank you, and...
Well, can I tell people that our hearing will be in Culver City? The date and time is to be announced, but please, please visit our website, and we will give you more information. We'd like a big turnout for people to say Larry Grover had the right to at least say, will you please at least shut up for 5 seconds and listen to me? And
can I just tell you, that's not going to play very well, shut up for 5 seconds.
But that's the rough outline of the message. I want to get it better. I'm going to get it better if I can sit down and write it out. I got some binder paper here, and my kids are visiting, so they're asleep. So I have my daughter Kathleen's binder paper, and I don't have anything to write with. I've got a crayon. This is my life now, but I'm going to go ahead and write my statement with a child's crayon, and I think there's something very meaningful about that.
Well, you don't know how meaningful. And
well, what is that supposed to mean? In other words, I'm a metal midget, so crayon is about my speed?
Pretty much, yeah.
I can tell you, Mr. Henry, that I would love to see you.
All right, so that's Larry Grover. I'm sorry we had to cut him off, but we do have to take a break. Thank you, Larry, and thank you, Ms. Leonard, and thank all of you for your phone calls this evening. Very educational. My understanding is Mr. Grover's hanging on for another segment. Is that right?
Yes, indeed. He said he'd get another 15.
And Ms. Leonard is gone?
Yes, she's gone.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover is, I guess, remaining with us for the remainder of the hour. Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. By the
truth
way, I'm wearing a hood with
bitch.
Sunglasses.
The Phil Hendry Show.
I'm wearing a cape.
You're wearing a cape with sunglasses.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Very interesting piece of information here in our final segment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Larry Grover joining us, who went into a Christian church, a Baptist church, on New Year's, Christmas morning, and addressed the congregation saying that they did not have the right to be happy or merry, and this was on during a nativity service. Now, you were in Las Vegas later on that day, were you not?
That's got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
But you were in Las Vegas later that day, and you were betting a full card of football.
I was betting on the NFL games. Are you trying to tell me that I'm not allowed to bet on football?
I just am curious about the Christianity that you practice. You don't have a church because they all bother you.
That's right. I'm not satisfied yet with the kinds of churches I've been finding. They all leave me feeling sick, if you want my honest opinion. And I went and I bet a lousy football card. I flew up there, bet it, and came home.
One football card? You went all the way to Vegas?
I'm not going to answer your questions. I think they're extremely intrusive. I just think they're intrusive.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let me go to a phone call here. We have Scott on the line. Go ahead, Scott. You're on with Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I would just like to speak for all the atheists that are listening to the show right now and say shame on you for not giving somebody their one day, whether...
I'm a Christian. So you don't speak for me. I'm a Christian. You don't speak for me.
No,
we know that, Larry.
I am speaking for non-Christians that are listening to you and listening to what you've done and saying shame on you once again, because people have to have something to be happy for. They have to have that one day to be happy and praise their family and everything that's going on positive in their lives. And guess what? That's their day. That is their one day.
I was trying to make their day better.
There's so many homeless and so many poor people in this country that that's the one night they get to go, you know, into their church and with their family and friends and feel positive. And all you did was pop that bubble and make them angry.
You know, you know what makes them angry is are atheists that are trying to tear down civilization. That makes them angry. I don't make them angry when I say,
that's your opinion.
I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus, and I believe.
Have you ever heard of
Mr. Henry?
I'm a humanitarian. Okay, I care for everybody.
Well, how can you be a humanitarian if you don't believe in Jesus? I don't understand how that works. You've got to have a godlike substance,
sir. You do, sir. You do not have to be a Christian to be a humanitarian.
You do.
Absolutely.
Don't you have
not.
To have some sort of God form or a God head? You don't have to have any kind of a God figure.
Okay,
I thought you did.
No, that's your opinion, sir.
Are you?
But you know what?
I think
most of your brethren would agree that it was just it's just blasphemous from what you did.
The blasphemy was when the elderly woman flipped the finger on me.
To speak,
she lit one up. Yes, sir.
How would you have felt if I got on that stage and you did say you would have stopped him from saying that? So I'm guessing you would have grabbed the microphone out of his hand. That's the only way you could have been heard in the place. So therefore, that's an aggressive move.
I would have had to restrain him, but I wouldn't have heard him.
Restrain him?
Yes, exactly.
Restrain him?
Yeah, well,
what do you mean, restrain him?
Well,
if he needs his voice heard, he has to grab the microphone out of his hand.
This atheist is trying to make... He's turning it around. It's an atheist who's turning everything around to make me look like a horse's ass, and he's something good.
I have good moral virtue. I don't need to be a Christian to have good moral virtue. I know what's right and wrong.
What about the old lady that lit one up?
I don't know. Why don't you go back to Vegas and gamble a bit? You know.
Maybe, you know, maybe
well, you know, I really find it interesting that the two of you think an old lady giving me the finger is great, but I play one lousy football card, and I'm going to burn in hell.
You didn't go all the way to Vegas to play one lousy football card. We're all aware of that. I'm sure there was probably a hooker involved, too.
That's what I was going to say. I mean,
well, you know you wanted to say it.
You know, okay.
I was going to say that you were probably in Vegas doing a hell of a lot more than just a football card.
You know, you guys,
absolutely.
If your minds are in the gutter, that's your problem.
But and by the
Larry,
way, hey, Happy New Year.
Yeah, you don't believe that though. You see, he lied. You're an atheist. You lied.
All right, thank you very much for your call, sir.
I was saying, a Happy New Year means a new year where things can change. It's not...
Right. Very good point. Thank you.
You let him say that, and I was trying to make this hour completely New Year's and Merry Christmas free, and it didn't happen. At the very end, you decided to almost to assault me as you walked me to the front door. And
what does that mean?
I'm using a metaphor. I'm using a comparison. As if you and I were out on a date and everything went great, but you decide to assault me. You don't understand.
No, I don't understand. No, I don't understand. And I don't understand why it's terrible that the old lady flipped you off. And I don't understand why everything's good if you go to Vegas for one football card. I'm supposed to believe that. But if I intimate or think that you were with a hooker, there's something wrong with me. I don't understand any of it.
Well, Mr. Henry, you show up at that municipal hearing in Culver City when they have me on the docket for doing something that was worthwhile and...
I will be there, Larry. I will be there. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
I see what you're going to do. You're going to heckle me?
I'm going to see what the people think, and I have a feeling that everybody is going to be against you.
Yeah, thanks to you.
No, what? Buddy, own your own actions. Own your own actions. Thank you very much, Mr. Grover. Thanks to me. I heard that guy call up and say he'd show up with a whole bunch of people, and hope they throw the book. I hope they throw the book at him, too, to be honest with you. All right, we're coming back with our News and Information Hour here on our very first night back from the good old Christmas New Year's vacation. It is 2012. It is the beginning. It is the Matrix. It is the Fount. It is what it is, baby. It is the birth. It is the birthright. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Right on!
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show here, back live. And now it is Wednesday, so this is the fourth day of January, and time waits for no man. 2012, it is a brand new year. Phil Henry here, our News and Information Hour. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard have joined me. And we thank Larry Grover, along with, of course, Mavis Leonard, for joining us in the last couple of hours. We talked about his stunt there on Christmas. You may think it's a Merry Christmas, but it's not. Well, you know, Larry, for some of us, it's a Merry Christmas. It's always going to be a Merry Christmas. It doesn't matter how bad things are, how good things are. We're always going to enjoy that day, so thank you very much. Anyway, welcome to our News and Information Hour. Reminder that we're online at philhenryshow.com. That is our website. That's the strong right arm of the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and that's where you could go and enjoy any number of quality moments with Phil. You can watch our live streaming video of the show right now if you'd like. You can listen to a podcast of our show the next day delivered directly to your iPod or your thing, whatever it is.
Yeah, with your whatever your iThing is.
Whatever your iThing is, you can also listen to thousands of hours of archive material, whole shows, total shows, 3 hours of radio shows, and all other kinds of marvelous miscellaneous fun, such as TV pilots and television interviews and radio interviews and things that we've done, character bits. We also have a free Classic Phil podcast. And for those of you who are not subscribers, you can listen to the show the next day on a streaming version of our show the next day right there on the website. So it's well worth it. PhilHenryShow.com, a backstage pass, and you're hooked up. And I'll tell you something, there's all kinds of money you can spend and throw away on all kinds of entertainment, but this is a this is something that delivers constantly over and over and over again to the tune of, I don't know, man, like I said, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours. So our website is philhendryshow.com. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. And a couple of things to tell you about. First of all, we had a weird weekend here that I think you might find interesting, guys. There was a there have been a series of arson fires in the city of Los Angeles since Friday night last. There also, as it turns out, had been a there were some copycat arson fires going on. Now, what happened was this. And I was very confused because even friends of mine living back east said, what are you talking about? You didn't. I said, I woke up on Wednesday morning to LAPD arrests arsonist. And I thought, okay, great. They found this guy. Now, in the middle of the day on Monday, as I'm watching football and we're all enjoying, you know, January 2nd, kind of an extended weekend, I hear the local NBC affiliate here breaks in and they have a press conference, and it's the Los Angeles Police Department saying, we've made an arrest, as you know, in the arson fires, and the guy's name is Alejandro Pineda. And I thought, great, that's great, Alejandro Pineda, that's okay, they got this guy. And he was lighting fires, and they got a picture of this guy walking down the street. At least they thought that's who it was, and it turns out there's another guy that they arrested. And I still haven't made hide nor hair out of this, but I'm guessing that there was a fair number of copycat-type arson fires in L.A. over the weekend that were started by this Mr. Pineda and another guy by the name of Arrington. But the real culprit is a guy named Burkhart. And he's a German. And he was starting these fires because he didn't like the way his mother was being treated by U.S. immigration, the criminal courts in the United States, Interpol, and the German authorities.
What?
Exactly. That's what I said. This was a guy that was so pissed off at how his mother was being treated by the courts, the criminal court here in Los Angeles, which was considering sending her ass back to Germany because there's an extradition warrant for her in Germany. And among the things that she is alleged to have done, she, I guess, kited a check on a breast augmentation clinic. Just weird stuff. And it also got into the files of Interpol.
What's Interpol? That's like, ain't that like the man from Uncle?
What is?
Interpol?
No, that ain't the man from Uncle. Interpol, I don't know. What was the man from Uncle?
Yeah, that was that. Interpol like the man from Uncle.
What do you mean the man from Uncle?
Yeah, United Network Command of Law Enforcement. That's the same thing as Interpol.
Well, I don't know what it is, man. It was Interpol is and was and continues to be an international. It's an international coordinating resource, I guess, or a police agency for all of these countries, all of the countries of the world that have a warrant for an international fugitive. They can throw it on Interpol, and Interpol collects all this stuff. I don't think Interpol has police, you know.
Yeah, but they got like the man from Uncle.
Will you guys knock it off with the man from Uncle? I don't know what you're talking about.
They gotta have a guy that can go and bust down, go and arrest a guy.
No, they ain't got any crap like Interpol. I've never heard of anybody. Hi, I'm from Interpol. You're under arrest. I've never heard of that. Interpol is a wire service. It's like cops put crap there, and then the American cops will say, I put it up on, you know, Interpol has got it, and Interpol has got I don't know what it is. Maybe we ought to look up Interpol. So I'll make it your job, Robert. Look it up.
All right. But you don't think there's an uncle?
No, there's no uncle.
Well, there ought to be, because they're pretty good.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Do I think there's an uncle? I don't know. And if there is an uncle, I wish he hadn't met my aunt.
Yeah.
In any event, just look up Interpol, not uncle. Why are you looking under the U's?
Oh, sorry.
And so in any event, there is this woman, and she is a German. Her name is Doreen Burkhart. And her son, her son Harry, was really pissed off. And so he jumped up and down. He made a big scene in the court. He was talking about how his mother was being mistreated. And, you know, and they had their eye out for this guy. And the next thing you know, they got this guy busted for starting all these fires. For months, authorities scoured West Hollywood carrying a photo of a squat, green-eyed woman through a bustling hive of Russian-language social clubs and cafes selling borscht and varniki dumplings. She was Dorothy Burkhardt, a fugitive wanted on a host of fraud charges in Germany. Dorothy Burkhardt was eventually arrested here, and last Thursday, she was in a courtroom for a hearing to extradite her to Frankfurt to face the charges. Get a load of this. Within hours, an arsonist began setting fires across a wide, significant portion of Los Angeles in a four-day assault that caused millions of dollars in damage and left many residents on edge. The man police arrested on suspicion of starting more than 50 fires turned out to be another resident of that Russian-language nook of West Hollywood, Dorothea Burkhardt's 24-year-old son, Harry. I'm so wild about Harry. Anyway, on Tuesday, authorities were investigating the relationship between the son and the mother.
Uh-oh.
No, it ain't what you're thinking.
How do you know?
I don't know. I'm hoping not. I'm praying not.
That's really funny. You'd rather have any... You just want to know that he's not doing it with his mom.
That's right. I'd rather hear about anything else, to be honest with you. A relationship that appears to be mutually protective, fraught with legal troubles, and laced with virulent anti-American sentiment. Don't you just love that? There's something very strange about that. People just doing twists and flips to get into this country, and they're anti-American. I was thinking about that the other night. You know how we always say that America is like the world's Disneyland? It really is. America is not a... People don't consider America a country like they come from a country. They consider America to be a place where everybody should be allowed to go, no matter what. So forget about turning your own country into a good thing. Just... Yeah, it pisses me off, to be honest with you. It really... Because it's the height of stupid. And if there's one thing I can't stand, it's stupid.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. I like the way you guys are looking at each other. On Tuesday, authorities were investigating the relationship between the son and the mother. Court records unsealed on Tuesday only added another layer of mystery to Harry Burkhardt's background as detectives in Los Angeles try to determine whether Dorothea Burkhardt's legal problems played a role in the arson rampage. Her routine criminal charges, which include falsifying the down payment on her breast augmentation surgery, received an unusual amount of attention, from German and U.S. authorities, as well as Interpol, the international policing organization. It was unclear from the records why Dorothea Burkhardt became such a high-priority target in an international dragnet after her arrest warrant was issued in 2007. According to interviews with numerous law enforcement officials, Harry Burkhardt lived with his mother in West Hollywood and appears to have been incensed at the aggressive international effort to send his mother back to Germany to face these fraud charges. The son made quite a disturbance at that hearing, said Thomas Mrozek, spokesman for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles. It left enough of an impression that a law enforcement official who had worked on the case against Dorothea Burkhardt viewed LAPD images of a person of interest Sunday and reported that the person looked exactly like Ms. Burkhardt's son. The officer was an agent of the Los Angeles field office of the U.S. State Department's Bureau of Diplomatic Security. Those guys are heavy.
What are they?
We got the CIA, we got the Defense Intelligence Agency, we got the FBI, we got a lot of stuff. But we also have a very little-known group of guys, the diplomatic security guys at the State Department. And those cats are, they'll put a microphone up your rear end just as fast as anybody else. Once identified, Harry Burkhardt was arrested at 3 a.m. Monday by a reserve sheriff's deputy who spotted his minivan near the Sunset Strip. Now, when we come back, we'll have a definition as to what Interpol is. And I was going to tell you about this other guy, Arrington, and what the hell is going on with celebrity wife swap, Gary Busey, and Ted Haggard. This is brilliance. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's our news and information hour. Allow me to turn off the fan there, bud. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You were supposed to do that. Anyway, And if you're joining us online at philhendryshow.com and you're looking at Phil TV in HD this evening, you see that we have up on our video screen Interpol's website. And the reason why I brought that up so we know what the hell it is we're talking about, Interpol does not make arrests. They don't go out and kick down doors, and they ain't got the man from Uncle. Sorry, bud.
Mm.
What they do is they provide, according to their mission statement, investigative support, relevant data, and secure communication channels. So I would imagine that if you need support in investigating something, they have bodies that will help you with that. If you're an American police agency that is looking for so-and-so, and the guy was last seen in France, Interpol will, to the extent that they can, provide some investigative support there. Maybe they'll track the guy. Maybe they'll find out where he is. Maybe they will provide at least some secure communication channels between yourselves and them so that they can, you know, further facilitate what it is you need. And they also do some training. And there's also a whole series of Interpol expertise, overview, training and capacity, data exchange, databases, and stuff like that. So, no, they're not the man from Uncle. They can't go in and arrest anybody, Robert.
Yeah, but, I mean, what's the point of calling themselves Interpol?
What do you mean, what's the point of calling themselves Interpol?
Yeah, they can't. What are you going to do if there's a criminal? If they see a criminal that they can get.
If they see a criminal that they should get, and it's a guy that's wanted in America, is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Then they say to, suppose the guy's in France. Okay.
Well, yeah, but what if the guy's like in Stanifan or not that, but...
Yeah, well, like what's that one country you talk about?
What do you mean, what one country I talk about?
That was really weird, like, Canada. No, not Canada, man.
Kazakhstan?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, what they'll do is, they'll go to the... Kazakhstan used to be a part of the Soviet Union. It's, you know, it's a developing country, but they're not eating with their freaking hands. You know, they got cops. And what they do is, they say to Kazakhstan, hey, there's a guy living in your country who's wanted by American authorities.
So they let them know.
Yes, they let them know. If for whatever reason the Americans are having a hard time making contact with the appropriate authority, if they're saying, I don't know, the guy is in that part of the country, that the guy's in that country, and, you know, what do you got? You got a detective at an American police department someplace? Where's he even going to begin? So he, you know, they make contact with Interpol, and those guys can then, you know,
they call them up.
They'll call up whoever the country is. Yeah, and then, you know, you guys have to pick this guy up or at least keep an eye on him. There's a warrant for him in the United States. He's wanted for murder. He's wanted for whatever. And unless they're a completely corrupt system, because, you know, one hand washes the other. If you do for them, they're going to do for you. And if Kazakhstan told America to stick it up our you-know-what because they're not going to do that kind of work, the next time they have some guy running from them and he comes over here, well, maybe we ain't going to be so ready to extradite the guy. So that's what Interpol is, and that's what this woman, this Dorothea Burkhart, has been on the lam from Interpol, or she's been on the lam from the German authorities. And what's interesting is that all of a sudden, even though these warrants go back to 2007, all of a sudden here it is, 2011, 2012, and now everybody is hot and bothered about arresting her. Now, there is a reserve sheriff's deputy who got a lot of credit, and he wants to remain behind the scenes. He wants no exposure. He wants no publicity. He wants nobody sticking cameras in his face. He's simply a reserve sheriff who spotted this guy's minivan near the Sunset Strip, and that's when they picked this jackball up. Today, a German national, Harry Burkhart is a German national, this guy that was arrested for these fires. He's lived in California for several years. He'd been dubbed the Hollywood Furtufel, which is German for the Hollywood Fire Devil.
Now, he's called a what?
A Furtufel.
Furtufel?
Yeah. Booked on arson charges, he was being held without bail, and his 53-year-old mother, coincidentally, was back in court fighting her extradition and appeared disoriented without her son at her side. He should come into the court, she insisted, the U.S. Marshals and other law enforcement agents in the courtroom. She grew more agitated when the hearing began in front of U.S. Magistrate Margaret Nagel. Where is my son? Where is he? Is he dead? What have you done with my son? No, lady, what we've done with your son, it's what your son was doing to a bunch of houses and private property around the city, setting fire to it. Dorothea Burke, boy, I love it, man. Anti-American? This guy is burning people's houses down. One of the houses that got cooked, by the way, over the weekend, partially, and I don't know whether it was a house that this jackass lit on fire or this Alfredo Pineda, but it was Jim Morrison's house, the lead singer of The Doors, used to live in a house in Laurel Canyon. And I don't know if it's a historical landmark, but...
What are you going to make a historic landmark for? For what? When he smoked weed and everything? Make a landmark for the weed?
No. I've got to make it for that, bud. But I think he wrote some significant songs there, like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, probably wrote the Lizard King there.
Yeah, he probably wrote the Lizard King there.
I don't know if it was the Lizard King, whatever the hell he wrote. But anyway, part of that house got burned down. So they were worried up there in the canyon that there might be some, you know, significant damage done. All right, that's enough about that. But I wanted to sort of lay that on you folks, because that was preoccupying a good deal of what was happening around here. And I got to tell you something. I didn't even know until, like, Sunday, somebody suddenly said there's somebody setting fires in Los Angeles. I mean, I didn't know. I mean, I must have been so immersed in football land, you know.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I was watching so many games, man, I didn't even know what the news was.
Well, I was definitely out of the loop when it came to the news. Definitely out of the loop. All right, celebrity wife swap. Gary Busey, Ted Haggard, the former preacher, they trade wives on this. Well, actually, it was Ted Haggard's wife, and it was Gary Busey's fiance. Traded wives on celebrity wife swap. So let's find out how that went. And then kind of a sad story here. Mount Rainier remains closed. There was a ranger up there that got shot and killed. And they believe that it was a U.S. Army Iraq War veteran that did it. And the guy may be going survivalist. You know, he may be up there in the woods. We don't know. But we'll let you know. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and our website, philhendryshow.com. And also, of course, our shop, the Phil Hendry Show shop, with our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies that are available right now. And you can also pick up the baseball caps and our T-shirts and our coffee mugs and our shot glasses, and downloads of all of our best of CDs are available there at philhendryshow.com. So pick that stuff up. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. And one other thing that we wanted to just mention to you very, very briefly. We are on Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. And we're also going to be starting a project with Ted Bell. And when we get that project going, that's Ted Bell's Ted's of Beverly Hills Restaurant. When we get that project going, we're going to direct you to a particular Twitter site to weigh in with things. We'll be back. Show here, 877-876-PHIL, a news and information hour. In fact, better put the phones on hold here, because I don't want to mislead anybody, you know.
Yeah, you're not taking no calls.
I'm not taking any calls. We do give the phone number out. I don't know, just it's reflexive. Tonight's episode of Celebrity Wife Swap on ABC featured a unique exchange. Gary Busey's fiance and Ted Haggard's wife traded places for a week. Surprisingly, there were no fireworks. This according to Suzanne Clark, who is writing for ABCnews.go. The hour gave viewers insight into the lives of the two households and into the struggles of Busey, who suffered a brain injury after a motorcycle accident and is now known for his wacky way of expressing himself, and Haggard, an evangelical Christian who was disgraced when a gay sex and drug scandal came to light. Haggard had been a pastor of Mega New Life Church and the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. In 2006, his life unraveled over allegations that he had paid a male prostitute for sex for 3 years and had purchased crystal methamphetamine from him, and probably for him. Stephanie Sampson went to the Haggard family's Colorado Springs, Colorado home, while Gail Haggard went to Busey's home in Los Angeles. Oh, I don't know why that's funny, but it is. Sampson met the Haggard's children, and Haggard, 54, met Sampson and Busey's young son, Luke. The trained women familiarized themselves with their new households, reading the manual that was left for them by another woman. As part of her duties, Sampson, now this is Gary Busey's fiance, she's now in the Ted Haggard household, which is the household of the Christian preacher, and Gail Haggard is now in the home of the Hollywood movie star slash motorcycle enthusiast and sometimes brain-damaged rock on tour. As part of her duties, Sampson, who is Jewish, had to take over leading a woman's Bible study for the absent Gail Haggard. When she disclosed that she and Busey were married in spirit and not legally, she got some blank stares. Unfamiliar with the Bible reading, she stumbled a little and drew loud laughter when she mispronounced the word disciple.
What's it really supposed to be?
Disciple.
Yeah, that means you mispronounced?
I did as a joke, yes. It's disciple. That's probably... How do you mispronounce disciple?
Let me see it. Let me look at it.
Will you take it out of my face, bud? If you want to read it over there.
Yeah, it's probably disciple. Let me see.
What is it with you guys? Give me that. In any event, she also read from Gail Haggard's book, which was published after her husband's scandal, and details why she stayed with him. What, is that part of the job? She had to read from Gail Haggard's book. It's part of the manual. And read one chapter from my book. Sampson took exception to the perceived implication in the book that the gay prostitute who talked about his experiences with Haggard was doing the work of the devil.
But she takes exception to that.
Well, I mean, come on, man. In other words, what Gail Haggard is saying in her book is poor Ted Haggard got misled or led down the garden path by the Gail It's funny how her name's Gail and.
Yeah, it is. It's like Gail. Don't call myself Gail. Yeah, Gay Haggard.
She's in any event, Gail Haggard. It is believed by her that it was the gay prostitute that misled her husband and led him down the garden path to ruin. And this young lady, Miss Sampson, Gary Busey's, you know, fiancé, she's, or, you know, live-in chick or whatever, she thinks the whole thing stinks, man, and it's like, you know, not fair. And, you know, I agree with her. Anyway, so she also talked to Haggard and his children about what effect their father's scandal had on them. Haggard's son, Elliot, said he was angry at how people treated his father. Haggard, who's 55, said the scandal was embarrassing and heart-wrenching, adding, I wanted to die. Sampson, 37, seemed genuinely concerned for the Haggard's well-being. They're all so lovely, and I just want them to be happy and find some peace, she said, choking up. I hope I can help. It would be great if I could. Yeah, I told you I saw that one movie with him.
Yeah, you said he was a pretty nice guy, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw that movie that Nancy Pelosi's daughter made. She's a filmmaker. She's a documentarian, and she did a really... A couple of really interesting movies about Ted Haggard. And the more interesting one of the two was after, in my opinion, was after the church had, you know, thrown him out. And the movie starts, I think I told you guys, the movie starts with him on a driving range. He's out on a driving range at a golf course, and he's hitting a bucket of balls. And the filmmaker says, well, Ted, the last time I saw you, you had all these friends around you. What happened to all your friends? And he just looks at the camera and says, I don't know, they're all gone. And thus the movie begins, and you see him taking these jobs where he's got to go door-to-door selling something, or he's got to go door-to-door giving, you know, handing subpoenas out or something, and he's got to go on the road and travel and do this job and that job. And, oh, my God, you feel for the guy. You really do. You feel for the guy. And, you know, it's easy to say, oh, that stinking hypocrite and all this stuff, but what the hell, man? You know, the cat... He was a preacher. He was a gay. He is a gay man, in my opinion. He's trying to do the right thing, and he can't. And he, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, you don't think he like, you feel bad for that man, but he took all that money from those people.
Yeah, what about the money that he got?
All right, so he got a lot of money from people. I mean, let me ask you a question. I mean, when the cat took all this money from all those people, were they not getting what they paid for? Were they getting spiritual sustenance? I mean, there was obviously this man was successful at what he did and was getting these donations. I mean, that's how churches survive, on donations. And people wanted to donate to him because whatever message it was that he had, people were responding to it.
Yeah, but then they found out it's all a lie because he's talking about how gay people are bad and everything.
Well, did he say that?
He probably did. He's a Christian preacher. Probably said gay people should burn in hell and everything.
I don't know if he said that.
Probably. You don't know.
Well, you guys, what did he say about gay people?
You probably look it up. You probably see, on account of he's Christian, man, they all say the same thing, that the gay should burn and burn good.
Yeah.
Get out of here. The gay should burn and burn good.
What else do you think they're going to say?
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know if he, you guys are saying probably. You don't know what he said. Maybe he did. Maybe he did. Maybe he wanted to believe that, you know? Look, I didn't give him any money. Did you guys?
No.
Uh-oh.
Then what are you worried about? This is the thing. I always love these people, man. That's why these Scientology people really crack me up. These cats that run around saying how Scientology screwed them and how it's an evil church and how it's this and that and something else. These jackasses gave money. These cats are the ones that laid all this bread on those people so they could learn how to stick a couple of asparagus cans together with a wire. I don't know what the hell they did.
What's that?
I don't know. Something that they do in Scientology. They test you, and you hold two soup cans or something. That's what
I read something about that.
What?
It's what they do, but I don't know. So, and then a guy that does that, and then he turns around and he comes to me and he says, Mr. Henry, you should help us because Scientology is really ripping people off and it's doing all this terrible stuff. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand. Well, don't you understand? Yeah, but you volunteered for this garbage. You joined up. You spent all these years. Don't you get it, man? You know, the game here is not to go in and bust up these organizations necessarily, although if they are, you know, if they're committing crimes, I mean, you know, if they're running afoul of the law, of course. But that's not the game. The game is to be smart enough not to get sucked into this stuff. God knows, I'm not perfect, man. I've been sucked into things. Hell, I don't have to join Scientology. I don't have to join any church to know what it is to be manhandled and abused and used for my money. Believe me when I tell you. So I know all about that, right? You think I'm running around, you know, starting a campaign on behalf of Phil Hendry and trying to get total strangers to join me in my campaign and my whatever you want to call it, you know, my march, my demonstration to somehow right the wrongs that have done to me? No, man. I mean, I'm responsible for what happened to me in my life.
Yeah, but I mean, the Scientology, they say they believe in guys from outer space.
So what if they believe in cats from outer space? You got to be half nuts to join any organization that's got some moon man or some Martian at the bitter end of your your journey of self-awareness. Jeez. These guys are laying a lot of bread. I mean, I don't know anything about Scientology. What I hear is that you have to spend a lot of money to get to the level where you find out that the ultimate thing to know is that a Martian took over the Earth.
Well, are you lying to me, man?
No, that's what I was trying to tell you the other day.
A Martian.
Like a Martian, something like that. Somebody from another planet. That's the whole thing. Now, you think I'm going to, you know, a cat's going to come to me and say, oh, wow, you know, please help us, because look at that. Look what they're doing. Look at how they're using me. Wait a minute, man. You're the one that got involved with this group of people that believe Martians attacked and, you know, get out of here. Well, what about the people that died? Then they have to suck you in with that one. People died. Maybe they did. I don't know. Maybe they did die. I would suggest if people died, you get the cops on that one, man. And real fast. If you have evidence of people dying, you get the cops on that one. Cops will not be afraid to get involved in that. But other than that, Then you got the Mormon thing. Same thing.
Yeah, they talk about the Mormons as bad and everything, but I don't see anything of it.
Well, it doesn't make any difference whether you think they are or they aren't. That's their thing. Then I got these people, man, like that one guy I told you about on Twitter telling me, yeah, Mr. Henry, if you ever want to know anything about how bad the Mormons are, you just be. I said, why don't you take a freaking powder, man? Bug off. Bug off while the bugging's good, brother. And he's all pissed off at me because I don't get right down with his whole anti-Mormon thing. And, so you support torture, you know, like I'm going to believe you, you chump. How come you got involved with that stuff in the first place? I was Catholic all of my life. I may still be Catholic. I don't know. I saw all kinds of stuff. I mean, look at the priest thing, right? Molesting the kids and everything?
Yeah.
Okay. See, that sucks. I'm not going to run around and start yakking about how I got lied to and they used me and, oh, my poor Phil. Poor Phil, poor Phil. I was raised Catholic. I can make decisions now based upon my own beliefs, whether I want to be a part of that that body of believers or not. I personally still go to Mass. I like Catholicism. I separate the Mass and the celebration and the liturgy and the faith. I separate that from the political institution of Catholicism. The two things have nothing to do with each other as far as I'm concerned. I could give a damn personally about the Pope and all of that jazz.
You got to believe in a Pope on account of he's the Pope.
Well, yes, I believe in a Pope. You don't understand, man.
Yeah, if you don't believe in a Pope, the Pope's always right.
Yeah, that's another one I shouldn't have told you guys about. All right. So good luck to the Haggards. Good luck to the Buseys. What else did we miss in the story? Well, she was very sweet. She noticed that Haggard seems to throw himself into helping the people in his church, in his new church, and as part of her rules for the household, got the family to meet and talk. During the meeting, Haggard's daughter, Christy, asked to spend more time with her father. The resulting discussion grew tense when Elliot implied that Christy may have been unfair to their father by suggesting that he hadn't been available for the family. Haggard and his daughter went out together for a father-daughter tea and resolved the issue. Christy told her father that she'd like to reach out to her, that she'd like him to reach out to her more, and he promised to do so. I love you so much. You're precious to me. You're valuable to me. You're my only daughter, he said. Samson also took the family on a hike in the picturesque hills of the area and asked them to continue doing so as a family. Yes, it was Gary Busey's fiance who did all the good stuff, and Gail Haggard just sat there like a fat lump. No, I'm kidding.
It's not fair.
Oh, no. Here's what happened with Gail Haggard. While in the Busey household, Gail Haggard said that she believes that the actor is a good father to his young son, but thinks the actor seems a bit too focused on himself. She resolves to direct his attention outward. In particular, when she tries to engage him in a conversation, he talks a lot but doesn't have any questions for her beyond what sport she may have played in her youth. The answer? Barrel racing. The answer? Barrel racing. Boy, that's a good read on Gary Busey. Anybody, people that talk about themselves and only talk about themselves, there's trouble in River City, man. Big trouble. All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here in our News and Information Hour.
Truth.
Don't go
is
away.
Our bitch. The
Stick
Phil
around.
Hendry Show.
Visit our shop. Get the hoodie, baby. The hoodie.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here, and every night we're here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. So, and we're a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. If you'd like to know more about our show and more about us and more about me and more about we, go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and discover the marvelous world that we inhabit. Now, we are also on Twitter, twitter.com/realphilhendry, if you want to visit us there. We're very happy to have you with us. And also at Facebook, at facebook.com/Phil Hendry. Now, we have our fan page, too, bud. Which one's that?
Just Phil Hendry, the fan page.
I know. It's a little bizarre. I don't know how you get to our fan page, but we have a fan page. All right. So isn't that I'm glad I made that clear. I don't know. Phil Hendry is the fan page. Oh, I know what it is. Phil Hendry Fans. That's right. Phil Hendry Fans, P-H-A-N-S. Facebook.com/Phil Hendry, P-H-A-N-S, fans. All right. strange story from Mount Rainier. The staff at Mount Rainier National Park gathered on Tuesday to grieve the loss of a ranger fatally shot on New Year's Day and to wonder what led the gunman, heavily armed and carrying a bulletproof vest, to that rugged remote spot as he fled another shooting 100 miles away. Margaret Anderson was a 34-year-old mother of two who was married to another park ranger. She was shot and killed on Sunday by Benjamin Colton Barnes, a 24-year-old Iraq war veteran. After searching by plane and snowshoe, investigators found Barnes's body face down on a snowy creek Monday. A handgun and rifle were nearby. An autopsy completed found that Barnes drowned with hypothermia, another significant condition. Now, if he's a survivalist, or he was a survivalist, I understand that he's an Iraq war veteran, which, you know, doesn't necessarily mean you're a survivalist. That means living for days and days and days and days and days, maybe even weeks and weeks and months on just, you know, whatever you find out there in the wild. This man drowned. He was face down in snow. And I understand also he had post-traumatic stress syndrome, so he might have been not able to understand at some point the kind of danger he was in. When it came to hypothermia. The National Park receives about 1.5 million visitors a year. It remained closed on Tuesday, was not expected to reopen until Friday. Employees attended an all-staff meeting to begin dealing with Anderson's death. Her husband was on duty elsewhere in the park when she was killed. The FBI continued processing vehicles at the crime scene about a mile down the road from the Paradise Visitor Center. Meanwhile, the King County Sheriff was trying to pin down details about a shooting Barnes was involved in at a party in Skyway, south of Seattle. 9 people attended the party, many of them armed, and some had a show-and-tell with their guns. Some fired shots into the air to celebrate the New Year, which is about as stupid a thing as you can do, because, as you know, a young girl was killed over the past 3 weeks, an Amish girl was killed when some jackass fired his gun into the air, and the bullet goes up, and then it comes down. You know, the bullet doesn't go into outer space. The bullet comes down, Mr. Show-and-Tell Gun Guy. So when you shoot the gun, and the bullet goes up in the air, guess what?
I got the gravity.
There you go, gravity.
I thought it went into outer space.
Yeah, I'll bet you did. No, the bullet doesn't go into outer space and land on the moon. The bullet goes up, and then the gravity takes over, and it comes down. And guess what else? It comes down like a bat out of hell, man. The same way it went up. And these guys that are standing out there firing guns at their show and tell, you jackballs do more to put the fire under the ass of these gun control jackasses than anybody else in the world, you clowns, with your show and tell and you're shooting the guns up in the air. So anyway, and it doesn't surprise me that this man, this Barnes, fell in with you. So anyway, at least 2 people drew their weapons when Barnes was up there at the park. One of them was Barnes. 4 people were injured in a shootout, 2 of them critically, and of course, one of the park rangers was killed. All right, we're going to have more of these. We're going to turn that into comedy somehow, I'm sure. No, we will not. World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Phil Henry, and it is also produced by Dan Northcraft, and it is a part of our ever-loving charter and our destiny in life to continue entertaining you again tonight at 10. So until then, have yourselves a very, very pleasant and marvelous good evening. See you, the world famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com.
Phil Henry.